Sunday the 1st of January 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Christmas Cracker. Sermon title, The Wise Men. Bible reading, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Gemma. Heavenly Father, as we look at this very familiar story, we pray that each one of us will receive something different from it, that it will have a new meaning for us. So, Father, we just lift ourselves up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Few biblical stories are as well known, yet so clouded by myth and tradition, as that of the Magi, the wise men, or the three kings, whichever you actually know them by, which is mentioned by Matthew. During the Middle Ages, legend developed that they were kings, that they were three in number, and that their names were Caspar, Balthazar, Malachi, because they were thought to represent the three sons of Noah. One of them is often pictured as an Ethiopian. A 12th century bishop of Cologne even claimed to have found their skulls. The only legitimate facts we know about these particular Magi are the few given by Matthew in the first 12 verses of chapter 2. We're not even sure how many they were, although we presume that there were three because of the gifts that they brought. We aren't sure just exactly what nation they came from. Verse 1 says they came from the east, which is that they most likely came from Babylon, where there was a great prophet, a man of God, whose name was Daniel, who had been taken captive, and it was there that Daniel taught. We learn from the book of Daniel that the Magi were among the highest ranking officials in Babylon. And it was Daniel whom the Lord gave the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which none of the other court seers were able to do. So Daniel was appointed as ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Because of his great wisdom, and because he had successfully pleaded for the lives of the wise men who had failed to interpret the king's dream, Daniel came to be highly regarded among the Magi, and because of his high position and great respect among them, it seems certain that the Magi learned much from Daniel about the one true God, the God of Israel, and about his will and plans for his people through the coming glorious king who Daniel prophesied about 500 years before Jesus' birth. Although we really don't know a whole lot about these Magi, they seem to have been the scientists and the doctors and the scholars of their day. They glide into the Christmas story, offer their gifts to the newborn Christ, and then they silently slip away. However, what we do know is that they set out with one purpose, to worship the newborn king. Though we don't know the full details, it's likely their journey was around 1,000 miles through inhospitable and uninhabitable landscapes. On foot, there would have not been any hotels or creature comforts, and the return journey would have taken them months. And if you take into consideration the time they would have needed to prepare, you're looking at 6 months away from home. So why would they choose to spend this amount of time away from home? Well, I believe the answer is simple. The long and arduous journey following a star was for the sole purpose to worship the newborn king and to offer their gifts. On arriving at the place where Jesus had been born, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You have to admire their tenacity, because they had just travelled many miles, and I wonder how much time they actually spent at their destination before making that long journey home. Probably not very long. But their journey, no doubt, must have been worth it, because they came face to face with the child Jesus. They came to worship him. They gave him their valuable treasures. But these were not the most valued treasures that they gave to him, because the most precious gift that they gave was themselves, their devotion and their worship. They had put everything else aside that they might bow down at his feet. Can you imagine the long, hard months in very hot conditions, but never giving up, because they knew at the end of their journey they would meet the most precious gift that anyone could ever receive. And yet we at times struggle to come to worship from just around the corner, or perhaps a short ride. They were completely devoted, and all they wanted to do was to be able to see this King of Kings, spend time in worship with him before they began that long journey home again. In many ways, these Magi give us a true picture of worship, which is the devotion that we must bring to Jesus. Remember the carol in the midwinter, what the last verse is, it says, "And what can I bring, as poor as I am?" Well, of course, it's the one gift that every one of us can give, and that is our heart. God does not want anything else from us, just hearts offered to him in worship, putting him before all else. Often, though, we miss the point, because when we think of worship, we think of the type of worship that we like. And we can be critical, saying things like, "Well, I didn't get much out of that today. Whether that's because we've not liked the hymns that were chosen or the style of the service. We stay away from church on those weeks when we don't think we're going to like the way the worship is going to be done. We have worked hard here at St. Chad's to try and encompass the needs of everyone over our two services, which hopefully releases us to be able to worship in a way that best enables us to meet with God. However, though, sometimes we miss the main point, and that is not about us and how we want to worship, but more importantly, it's about our worship should be for God and not for us. We see worship as something we consume, something that is done for us. Worship isn't about that at all. We've got it the wrong way round. Worship is something that we do. It's something we offer to God. These mysterious magi, though they probably weren't steeped in theology, they understood this. Worship is something we give. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness." Although there is much misunderstanding and much we do not know about the Magi, I believe, however, the one thing that we do know is about their heartfelt, worshipful response to Jesus. They really came to worship him. And in verse 10 it says, "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed." In other words, they were filled with mega joy. There was no religious ritual. There was no, "Oh, I am going to church because I have to." This was worship from the heart. All real worship must come from the heart, because there is no action of worship that will please God in and of itself if it does not come from the heart. Christianity is not religion or ritual. It is not a matter of just doing the right things. Jesus said in John 4, "Those who worship the Father must worship in spirit and truth." Real worship must come from the heart. You see that in Psalm 100 it says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness." Worship is not a matter of formalism. It commands us to shout joyfully and to serve with gladness. These are all heart attitudes, and they are indispensable to genuine worship. Worship is all about humility, giving, and obedience. The Magi had all these qualities. They worshipped with all their heart. They were willing to travel miles just to see the Christ child. They bowed down in humility and gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And lastly, they were obedient. When they followed a star and then returned a different way because of a dream. This Christmas, our theme was all about a Christmas cracker and how the humble cracker resembles the Christmas story with its gift, crown, and joyful celebrations of laughter. And every time we hear the crack of the cracker, let us be reminded that God's gift to us was the most costly gift ever given. Today, we remember the Magi journey and the importance of that journey. May our journey resemble that overwhelming desire to meet with the risen Lord, King of Kings, so that we too can experience the true essence of worship, honouring Christ for who he is and being willing to give him what is most valuable to us as we worship him, because he is the perfect, just and almighty Saviour of the world. Let us be worthy of the best we have to give, because I believe that we can learn even more this year as we study Matthew 2. I have realised more clearly how the wise men really do give Christians today an important model to follow. And I pray that you have too. Let's pray the Lord will give us a fresh understanding into this portion of his word, so that we might grow as worshippers of the King born in Bethlehem that first Christmas morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many gifts that you give to us day by day. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the most precious gift of all, your Son. Father, help us to know how and what it means to bow down in humility and to worship and to serve. Father, let this new year be a new beginning for each and every one of us. Help us to understand more fully what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.